Chapter 48. Kong, I called to his holographic image floating in the main display tank of Valkyrie's bridge. Skippy had told me we needed the Maxulks to act as bait to attract the Sentinel. I told him we also needed the Flying Dutchman to watch our backs, and also to just watch. Even if Skippy's monstrously iffy plan worked and magically deactivated all the active Sentinels, that did not mean Valkyrie would survive. Skippy admitted he thought the prospects for our mighty battle cruiser coming through the encounter intact were 50-50 at best, and really, he was guessing. He had no idea what conditions would be like once we got close enough to a Sentinel for Skippy to do his thing. He was going to be fine if the ship was torn apart, although that was another thing he was wildly guessing about. How do I know Skippy was not optimistic about Valkyrie being in one piece, or even several recognizable pieces after a close encounter with an Elder killing machine? That's easy. That traitorous little asshole requested all his cool memorabilia, including the priceless Elvis shirt, be transferred to the Dutchman. I suppose I should be honored that he requested the velpy painting I made for him of Skippy on velvet to also go over to Chang's ship. That really did not make me feel better about the situation. Are you ready? I asked the guy who I had first met on Paradise during preparation for our promotion ceremonies. That was a bogus publicity stunt promotion for me, but a well-deserved one for him. Are you ready? He asked, a smile stretching his mouth, but his eyes weren't smiling. He looked worried, and it did make me feel better that part of his worry was for me personally. We had been through a lot of shit together. Recently, I insisted he retain command of the Dutchman when UNEF was nervous about a Chinese officer being in control of one of our most important assets. Maybe vouching for him made a difference, or maybe UNEF just recognized that the Chinese conspirators had decided they couldn't trust Chang to participate in their plot to stab us in the back. Ready as we can be, I shrugged, just before realizing that perhaps showing my lack of confidence in view of the bridge crew was not my best idea. Ah, whatever. The ship was operating with a skeleton crew. All volunteers. That wasn't exactly true, as the entire crew had volunteered to remain aboard. I only accepted those key personnel who might actually be able to do something useful. Something that might make a difference between success and failure. Ships normally carry enough crew to provide coverage for multiple duty shifts, plus additional personnel for damage control. The encounter with the Sentinel would be short enough that we didn't need to plan for a relief crew, and any damage done by a freaking Sentinel was not something that could be fixed by a senior chief with a wrench. Not even if that senior chief was supplied with a full pot of coffee. Joe. He looked away for a second, a gesture I recognized as his attention being caught by someone in the Dutchman CIC talking to him. He nodded and turned back to me. Are you sure you have considered all the alternatives? All the ones that don't involve doing nothing while these damn things rampage across the galaxy, yeah. He pursed his lips. What bothers me is, this op is Skippy's idea. Hey, the beer can protested. Are you sure? Chang leaned forward, staring intently at Skippy's avatar. That you haven't forgotten something? Well, it is my experience that you always forget something. That's not fair. I came to Skippy's defense for some stupid reason. He planned and executed the op to kill the first Sentinel all on his own. Yeah, that's right. Skippy's smugness factor went to 11. I didn't forget anything that time. All right, Kong conceded. That is one, I mean, Skippy muttered because he simply does not know when to keep his mouth shut. I did not expect the stupid thing to force the micro wormhole open, but that is not something I forgot. I just didn't know it could do that. Maybe I should have known, I guess. Like, I did know Sentinels have access to that type of technology, so, Skippy. I stopped him before he could dig the hole he was in any deeper. Please, shut up. But trust me on this. Okie dokie. Anywho, I just received a ping from the commander of the Maxulks task force. They're ready for our signal. You know, Chang squinted at me. The kiddies will stab you in the back the first chance they get. My answer to that was another shrug. I'd be worried if they didn't. You would? Sure. If they didn't try to stab us in the back, I explained. I would wonder what worse thing they have planned. Ah, gotcha. Joe, if this doesn't work, If this doesn't work the first time, you know what to do. Find Skippy and try again. Check, he said, and gave me a thumbs up. I returned the gesture. Start the countdown on my mark. Mark. 3 minutes later, we jumped, in coordination with the Flying Dutchman, and several hundred Maxalt's warships.
It's here!
Skippy announced about 6 hours after we emerged in the target search zone. The clusters of Maxalt ships scattered around us had been hammering at space with their quantum resonators, which supposedly was to call a sentinel, but really had absolutely no effect. Why had I instructed the rotten kiddies to fill the area with quantum resonance if it didn't do anything useful? Because, for a change, I was thinking long-term, making plans rather than reacting to events. Anyway, I'll explain that later, if I can. Alert the Dutchman, I ordered, clenching my fists in my lap and focusing on keeping my voice calm and steady, despite the gut-wrenching terror I felt. Already did it, Skippy reported. Ah, damn it. As expected, I can't pinpoint its location. The effect is strong enough that the Maxalts will also have detected its presence, unless they are all asleep over there. One risk we had taken was Skippy explaining to the kiddies how to adjust their sensors to detect a sentinel in the area. It was only a minor tweak to their existing sensor suite, basically tuning them to look for a very specific pattern in the background radiation, but it was a capability the Maxalts didn't have before. There was a small possibility the kiddies could expand on the information Skippy gave them, and not only significantly upgrade their sensors, but also make their sensor jamming more effective. They might be able to use that upgraded capability against us someday, but honestly, I am so far past worrying about either of the damn senior species. Compared to the threat of sentinels rampaging across the galaxy, even the full might of the Maxalt's hegemony seemed no more than an annoyance. Destroyer Squadron Alpha should be attempting to jump soon, Skippy added. He was repeating information we already knew and that was shown on the main display. The bridge crew didn't need him blah-blah-blahing at us. It was a sign of how nervous he was. My own rattled nerves manifested in my hands trembling slightly, which is why I kept them in my lap. 2.5 minutes later, the four ships of Alpha Squadron emerged in their designated zone about 6 light seconds from our position. At intervals of 74 seconds, the squadrons we designated as Bravo and Charlie appeared near us, transmitted recognition codes we really didn't need, and waited. 74 seconds after Charlie Squadron arrived, nothing happened. We waited and waited, but there was no sign of Delta Squadron. Echo and Foxtrot squadrons arrived on schedule. Well, Skippy concluded, that went about as expected. He meant the 6 destroyers of Delta Squadron went nowhere. Their drives failed to form jump wormholes, just like we experienced aboard the Dutchman when the same Sentinel had us trapped. That is how we knew the location of the Sentinel, or hopefully we knew where it was. The damn thing could have moved. I hesitated. Skippy, this is the same Sentinel we encountered, right? The damaged one? Yes. He didn't make any attempt to hide his annoyance. Before you pester me with stupid questions, I can tell the difference between Sentinels, and this one is particularly distinctive. Mamay, I called to our gunnery officer. Confirm all weapons secured. Confirmed, he said. All weapons secured. None of the weapons aboard our mighty ship posed a threat to a Sentinel, and I was concerned about an accidental launch or a hot weapon getting triggered by some weird effect when we got close to the Sentinel. Our remaining supply of energy virus was in a containment canister at a location only we knew, safely far away. This time, we didn't want to kill a Sentinel. We wanted to use it. Exo, any thoughts? I wanted to make sure I wasn't forgetting anything. Her eyes flicked only briefly to her console before answering. All stations report ready. There wasn't any legitimate reason for me to delay. Skippy, signal the Maxalts. It's showtime. Add that we salute their courage, something like that.
Can I assume you want me to say it ironically? Skippy asked.
No. I shook my head. Not this time. They may be assholes, but they're not cowards. Right. Signal is away. Over the next minute,
the destroyer squadrons, the enemy squadrons, jumped away. That started a countdown to when all ships of the task force were supposed to jump to the position of Squadron Delta and open fire to attract the attention of the Sentinel, or at least act belligerently if they couldn't pinpoint a target to shoot at. Back when the Dutchman was trapped, we had never actually seen the thing. For Skippy to do whatever the hell he needed to do, we had to be within 43 kilometers, so we needed to know exactly where the stupid thing was. By where, I mean where part of it manifested itself in our local spacetime. Why is everything we do so complicated? Since from our position several light hours away, we couldn't tell whether the Maxalts had commenced their diversionary tactic or not, we had to trust they were doing what they promised to do. We weren't blindly trusting them to play their role. They had a significant self-interest in helping us get Skippy close to the damaged Sentinel. I mean, a self-interest beyond the obvious of potentially saving their own asses by hopefully assisting us to put the Sentinels back into hibernation. They also very much wanted to know how we did it, so they could learn and possibly acquire such technology for themselves. I have some bad news for them about that. Forget about it. Whatever Skippy did, it wouldn't be detectable to any sensor aboard the Maxalt ships. Our own ship, even Bilby, would not have any idea what Skippy was doing, other than by him telling us what was going on. Anyway, we waited for the countdown clock to, you know, count down to the time for us to jump. Having exactly nothing useful to do made me painfully aware of my own anxiety. "Hey, Joe," Skippy whispered in my earpiece. "If this goes sideways..." "I know," I said loud enough for the bridge crew to hear. "You want to say it has been an honor serving with us?" "Oh, he stumbled, speaking to everyone. "That too. I was going to say if this goes sideways, I wish I had put all my cool stuff somewhere more safe than the Dutchman." You little shithead. "I'm just saying, the Dutchman will be exposed to danger also, so it is not the best place to secure my..." "Skippy?" I was relieved to have something to think about. "If we do survive this, I am going to wear your blue Hawaii Elvis shirt."
"You wouldn't."
"I'm going to wear it to the gym every day for a month."
"Gah!"
He gagged. "Joe, that is an important cultural artifact. Think of the..." "Jump option, Charlie, in..." Fireball Reed counted down in a raised voice. 3, 2, 1, and... We emerged within 2 kilometers of the target coordinates. A lack of accuracy that would have bothered Skippy, except with the Sentinel creating spatial distortion in the area, a 2-click radius was the best we could hope for. A moment later, the Flying Dutchman popped out of an event horizon 0.5 kilometer away. What a mess. There was no need for sophisticated sensors to detect the Sentinel. It was right there. At a distance of 19 light seconds was the disturbing, creepy, rippling tentacle of a Sentinel still slowly uncoiling from the higher plane of existence it normally occupied. That was good news. It was in the process of emerging into our local spacetime instead of retreating from the Maxalt's furious assault. Furious was a good way to describe the action of our enemies. Their ships were firing every weapon they had at the Elder Machine, pouring petawatts of directed energy at the target, flinging railgun darts and launching swarms of missiles. To my amazement, the attack was having an effect on the Sentinel. There were chunks of debris floating around the arm, or tentacle, or whatever you call it. Chunks made of the same exotic substances as the Elder Machine and isolated patches of gray on its black surface. The Maxalts had struck it, wounded it. However, the combined effect was no more than a bee sting to the massive entity, and the damage must have occurred in the first salvos of the battle, for as I watched, all incoming fire was being blocked or deflected away. Missiles were being crushed, maser beams were somehow made to curve away from the target, railgun darts halted dead in flight. And the Sentinel was striking back. It was either angry or curious about an attack that had to be unexpected. My guess is that was why it wasn't retreating. Why should it? Even several hundred senior species frontline warships posed no serious threat to it. The remains of warships that had been casually torn apart demonstrated the Sentinel, even damaged in a battle eons ago, could do whatever it wanted. A battleship was being twisted apart as if the Elder Machine was curious to see how much torque the ship's internal structure could take. A heavy cruiser's armor plating was being peeled back in a line from nose to tail,
the massive plates popping loose under an unseen force. Hell. No technology existing in the galaxy had any chance of affecting the damned thing other than another sentinel. And possibly one absent-minded beer can. Skippy, I prompted him. Everything I described of the battle, I saw in 2 seconds or less as the ship's sensors reset from our short jump. We had no time to waste. Working on it, he snapped, irritated. Instead of urging him to work faster, I kept my mouth shut. He was busy establishing a flat area of space-time immediately around the ship. The effect would not be enough to allow Valkyrie to jump away to safety. Fortunately, we didn't want to jump away. We intended to jump in the opposite direction. Hopefully it would not expect us to jump at all, and certainly not to emerge closer to it. Done! Go! He shouted. After a very brief glance to confirm the jump coordinates would not have us emerging inside the target, Reed pressed a button on her console to initiate a tunnel through space-time. Immediately, her hand jerked away as alarms blared and warning lights flashed, then she jabbed the override button. What? No! 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 Skippy shrieked. Too late.